You're listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.
Tuning in to Health Justice Radio on CFMU 93.3 FM in Hamilton. Today we're featuring a unique and fascinating obstetrical health resource in our community. It is well established that receiving adequate prenatal care is an important determinant of health for both mom and baby. According to the Hamilton Spectator Better Outcomes Registry and Network, or BORN, early access to prenatal care is considered a vital part of preventing premature and low birth weight babies, as well as long-term developmental challenges. BORN found that about 85% of expectant moms in Ontario receive prenatal care in their first trimester. In Hamilton, the rate is about 94%, significantly higher than the provincial average. However, similar to the Code Red series findings, there are geographical differences within the city. For example, in Ancaster, the rate of women receiving prenatal care in the first 3 months of pregnancy is 97%. Whereas in the downtown neighborhood between Kenilworth and Queen Street, the rate is 89%. According to BORN, this may be partially due to socioeconomic status differences. However, according to Dr. David Price, chair of the McMaster's Family Department of Family Medicine and one of the founding members of the Maternity Center, Hamilton has a strong, well-integrated social service network, which helps to increase prenatal access throughout the city. One of the best examples of these resources is the Maternity Center of Hamilton, the focus of our Health Justice Radio show today. The Maternity Center of Hamilton, which was opened in 2001, is a clinic that provides prenatal, postpartum, and newborn care to moms and their babies. It is a project of the McMaster Department of Family Medicine and is unique in that physician referrals are not required, so women can self-refer. They are cared for by a committed interprofessional team of nurse practitioners, family doctors, social workers, and lactation consultants. Mums will then deliver at St. Joseph's Healthcare Hamilton with the help of the family doctor on call. The mission of the Maternity Center is to provide high-quality, accessible primary maternity care using an innovative, collaborative, multidisciplinary approach. It is located just down the street from St. Joe's on James Street South. To gain some insight into this neat place, we spoke with Claudia Steffler, a nurse practitioner and the unit director of the Maternity Center of Hamilton. She shares her thoughts on the birth and growth of this exemplary community resource.
If you can start by just telling me who you are and what your role is.
Introducing myself?
Yes.
My name is Claudia Steffler, and I'm a nurse practitioner. I've been part of the Department of Family Medicine and the Maternity Center since 2001. My role here is, so I have an administrative role in terms of being the unit director. I also have a clinical role in that I practice as a nurse practitioner. So the Maternity Center has three nurse practitioners, of which I'm one, and we have about, we have 13 physicians now. 13 family physicians who together we provide collaborative primary care, primary obstetrical care for pregnant women of Hamilton and surrounding area. So it has been extremely, the center has grown extremely well since 2001. When we started, there was myself, the single isolated nurse practitioner, and five family physicians. So the growth in the last 12 years has been obvious by the numbers.
Yeah. Great. And can you maybe tell me a little bit about where the idea behind the Maternity Center came from and what kind of need you filled here in the community?
Yeah, I think the idea really sort of sprung out of back in the early 2000s, so 2001, it was really identified that family physicians were becoming a thing of a past in terms of delivering babies. So a lot of women were seeking midwifery care or care from an obstetrician. And family practice obstetrics really sort of targets low medical risk patients of which there is lots of people who fall into that category. And there was some folks, David included, obviously, David sort of spearheading the movement, who were really motivated to help preserve family medicine obstetrics in Hamilton. Because when we were looking at this sort of the national and the provincial and local statistics regarding family medicine delivery of babies, it was taking a terrible nosedive, and the sort of forecasting for the future was even worse. So I think that the really big onus was really to sell family practice obstetrics to family physicians and to family medicine residents. And that was probably, it wasn't the only impetus, but it was a big push. And the other really big factor that was in play in Hamilton is that we have a huge population of young, socially isolated, and who are quite disenfranchised from a socioeconomic standpoint. That population has been really underserviced in terms of their obstetrical care and their care for antenatal care and care immediate postpartum. So I think the other really big contributing factor was to, you know, hey, we can do a better job of providing services to this population, of which in Hamilton there's, you know, lots of young girls who are pregnant or who have just recently delivered. At the time, I think Hamilton was number one at the time in terms of their teen pregnancy rate. So it was a no-brainer from that perspective. So I think those were the two big contributing factors to thinking about the MAT Center and sort of making it happen and selling it to the ministry, obviously.
Okay. And can you tell me about making it happen? You know, what was the process for kind of making it go from an idea to reality?
Well, it was probably the better part of a year in terms of a process of making that happen in terms of securing funding and getting people that were interested. Mobilizing the people was probably the easiest part of the journey because there was, like I said, five very motivated family physicians who were really keen on looking at a more sustainable model. So not the model of being in your office all day providing family medicine care to your family practice and then being on call 24/7 for your patients that are pregnant. So that old model of obstetrical care and family practice was really not sustainable and not safe, quite frankly, for the people that were doing it in Hamilton. And so we identified that there has to be a better way. You know, the whole gestalt process in terms of looking at we're a lot better at this altogether was really sort of a natural progression of thinking about how we would do that. So that process in terms of getting people mobilized was quite simple. The more difficult, or maybe not so difficult, but the more time-consuming process was securing funding to the ministry and really getting sort of leverage background or leverage from the university in terms of the ministry feeling like we were connected to an entity that's well-known and well-resourced you know, accredited from a sort of medical perspective. So I think that just took time. But really for all of the hurdles that needed to be jumped, it was just sort of a progression of, okay, now we've done this, now we need to do this. And then the next thing you knew, we were looking for space and renovating and putting up walls. And we actually saw patients, a couple of patients, in another family physician's office in the interim because our office wasn't ready on the day that we were supposed to start seeing patients. So it was a couple days delayed there's no hydro or something. I don't recall now, but it really goes to show you that there wasn't a lot of hurdles that were going to stop us. It was a ball that was already in progress and it had lots of inertia by the time we sort of opened our doors to patients.
Great.
Yeah.
And how can you tell me a bit more about, you talked a little bit about the patients that you see here mm-hmm. being very often young and socially isolated and disenfranchised. Can you tell me a bit more about that and maybe how that impacts their health mm-hmm. that you get to see on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I think the maternity center from lots of people's perspective is that's, you know, that's our only clientele and that's not the case. Actually, we have quite an eclectic patient population. But I think that we do have strength in dealing with folks that that do have lots of factors that would necessarily may inhibit their health or the health of their baby from a financial standpoint, from an addiction standpoint, mental health, social supports, mobilizing social supports, and really just from a lifestyle standpoint that they haven't necessarily been given all the tools that they need to navigate a system being very young and pregnant. So we try to help with that. I think that the way we do that is the nurse practitioner role is really integral in that, in terms of we have professionals that are here with nurse practitioners being really very capable and usually very motivated to do lots of health teaching. And the thing about pregnancy is whether you come from a disenfranchised background or whether you're, I don't want to pigeonhole people and say that that's the only people we service. But I think no matter where you're coming from, pregnancy for every single woman, whether, regardless of her financial status or socioeconomic background, is a really, really teachable time for most women. And it's a really, we have a very captive audience for the most part. And that's even the young girls who find themselves in a predicament that they necessarily didn't really want to find themselves in, but make some really huge changes, positive lifestyle changes. And our hope is that they'll continue that, postpartum. For the most part, we think we're pretty successful with that. So these are things like obesity, smoking, drug use. We have a specific methadone program for women who are on methadone and pregnant. We're one of very few in the city. We work really closely in conjunction with St. Joe's and the pediatricians at St. Joe's. We also look at women with huge mental health issues, whether they're diagnosed or undiagnosed. And a lot of those things, whether it's obesity or whether it's mental health or homelessness or living in poverty, just becomes all sort of a greater need and a greater issue when they're pregnant and now sort of considering having to provide for a little one. So I think it's a really good time that we can work with women and work with lots of community resources to make big changes for women. And they're, we have tons of success stories every single week. So it's really, really rewarding work. We're successful mostly because we work together and we all work on, we all have strengths, clinical strengths and sort of strengths in other ways. And patients really, we really try for patients to see who is appropriate for them in terms of what they need and what will help them. Our social worker does amazing work with a lot of our women, and she's here 3 full days a week and is very busy, obviously, and helps, has great community support and lots of ties to places with really good advocacy power and can mobilize things for patients very quickly when she needs to, and works really, really closely with St. Joe's. So the nice thing for our patients is that even if the story sounds kind of, I hate to say this because it sounds kind of terrible, but nasty on paper, it doesn't mean that the story at the end of the pregnancy reads exactly the same way. And oftentimes, the person sitting in front of you in labor, the story that's current for them now is dramatically different from 28 weeks prior or how many ever weeks they've been in our care for prenatal care. And that's, those girls that are motivated can make those huge, huge, huge changes. And then the nice thing is that because they've been with us through this process and with our social worker, she has very close ties to social work at St. Joe's. And things are a lot calmer. There's not the sort of crisis, oh my gosh, we have a, 15-year-old girl who has nowhere to live and has been kicked out by her parents. And, sort of any, I don't want to pigeonhole people, but any sort of, traumatic kind of stereotypical bad case scenario that you could think of is probably one we've seen here that typically is much different by the time that they're on labor and delivery. So that gets communicated very clearly so that hopefully the women are treated with respect and acknowledgement regarding the changes that they've made, and really the only the services that they really need to be involved instead of people just kind of reading a story and kind of making phone calls to every community agency that we can think of to, you know, take care of this situation. So we try to sort of package that much differently by the end of her pregnancy. And in some cases, we don't have a lot of time. Some girls mm-hmm. present to us at 32 weeks or unknown weeks with a 30-week, you know, measuring a 30-week belly or having a third trimester ultrasound that's dating them at 32 weeks plus or minus 3 weeks. Like, who really knows how pregnant that girl is? She's been hiding it the whole time or whatever. But what we know how to do is sort of mobilize all the people that need to be mobilized in order to make, you know, make whatever happen we need to happen, so that when she gets to St. Joe's or to wherever she's delivering, it's not a crisis and sort of, you know, terrible experience for her. I think that's the ultimate goal, is for her to feel respected and well cared for medically and emotionally. Yeah.
Wow, that's really, it's really inspiring what you guys do. So interesting.
We try.
Yeah. I'm sure not every day is like that. But
not every day.
Can you maybe tell me a bit about like how the maternity center has changed or grown
sure.
sort of since it first started?
Yeah, I think there's actually really two areas in my head that when I sit back and reflect on in terms of, you know, where we've been and where we're sort of where we're at now and where we're heading. In terms of care for our patients, I don't think any of that's changed. I think we can still care for all of our patients in the best possible way, and have been able to do that, I think, since day one with the support of St. Joe's through social work and through, you know, public health and lots of other community agencies. I think the thing that's changed is, A, obviously we're busier and our numbers are bigger, so our staffing is bigger, obviously, as well. And the other sort of really exciting and more sustaining change has been our real integration of the postgraduate medical education. So the maternity center now is sort of the forefront of family practice obstetrical training for all PGY1s, and obviously lots of horizontal electives for medical students and clerks as well. But the PGY1 program, in basically we see every first-year resident as they go through their family practice obstetrical rotation, and they get a really sort of intensive one-month introduction and orientation and full-on, you know, working in the MAT center during that month, either both in clinic and on-call. And I think that we've always had learners, even from the very beginning, but I think the breadth of how we're integrated into the especially the post-medical education program is huge. And that's a really recent sort of last couple of years. It's been percolating and it's been building, but it's really been solidified in the past year, which is really exciting. We're bumping into each other now because we're running out of space, which I guess is a good thing, because we've got more learners, we've got more patients, we've got more staff. So, you know, in the future, hopefully we'll be located in a different building with the Department of Family Medicine. And that's in the works as we speak. So that'll be exciting because then we can sort of have a more comfortable space. But in the meantime, it's a really good way to sort of get to know each other and work well together and find out what people's strengths are when you're working that closely to them. It's really hard not to notice. And I think the other, so that the learner piece is huge. We also have a lot of nurse practitioner students. And really, because the only two clinical staff that we have here is nurse practitioners and physicians, that's really the breadth of our learner base. It would be really difficult to have any other learners because we don't have that discipline represented. So we tend to have the occasional lactation consultant student, because we do have a lactation consultant as well. That I missed bringing up earlier. So we get the odd midwifery student actually that usually attends with our lactation consultant. So those are more a smattering of students, but students have been a huge thrust in the last year. I think the other big area that we're really again, building and percolating, and hopefully will continue to grow as research. So we've published some peer-reviewed and some several research studies in the past couple of years, with the hopes to publish more. We have a really, interesting and sought-after captive audience here at the Maternity Center. So it makes for, from a population standpoint, it's really a population that currently the province and, federally, we're looking at a lot of initiatives for women with, obesity, addiction, all of those things, with pregnancy, a clear focus as well. So I think that'll be, where we continue to expand as well. And obviously expanding our numbers is never a bad thing. So yeah. we obviously hope to continue to do that.
And maybe just from a personal, point of view, can you tell me a bit about, what's been your favorite part about working here and maybe what you find most challenging?
Yeah, you know what? I think it depends on what day and it depends on what hat I'm wearing. So my administrative hat sometimes struggles with my clinical hat. I think my clinician side always wins out. I don't know how other people who do clinical/administrative roles feel. I guess it depends where your heart lies, but mine's certainly clinical. So, when people walk through the door with no appointment and don't speak English and, are seemingly looking like they're 30 weeks pregnant, I mean, that's an easy time to sort of drop things and things that still need to be done, but that can wait. I think the most satisfying thing is that when we see patients who come back afterwards, so a lot of our patients come for their 6-week postpartum visit, or actually they'll just pop in. Sometimes the day they're leaving the hospital, so 48 hours postpartum, and they'll walk down the street with their baby, and, especially when there's things that have happened either medically or, socially, whenever you're working in healthcare, I mean, there's tons of sad stories and tons of happy stories and lots of in the middle, but obviously it's the sad ones and the happy ones that sort of stick in our mind. And I think all of us sort of collectively know that a lot of the people we serve, for lack of a better word, and not meaning to be judgmental in any way, because I don't mean it that way, are hard to provide care for. So whether that's because there's huge language barriers or cultural barriers or barriers in terms of their mental health or barriers in terms of their cognitive ability to understand what's happening to them and their body and the importance of medical care. I mean, we're able to give them so much more time and nurturing and caring, I think, than other medical folks in the community. And not because they don't want to, because I believe they would want to too. We're just lucky enough to have the ability and the funding. And basically the philosophical model was built around this. So it doesn't make any clinician in the community not as good as us. It just means that we're lucky enough to have the flexibility and the manpower and the funding to be able to practice the way we do, which is, much more staff than perhaps we would have if we were in a regular funded model. And certainly a lot more flexibility in terms of time and accommodation for people's specific needs. So I think that's probably the most satisfying thing. It's totally fantastic when people, come in with their baby, or even when they're still pregnant and just weep because they're so happy about their care. And I mean, we all have those stories. And I think the hardest thing sometimes is just, the hardest thing sometimes is when we're desperately trying to, in our opinion, help someone and they're just not ready to be where we'd like them to be. And I think that's a struggle in every sort of helping professional has in their career. So it's, it's something you have to come to terms with. And whatever people define as health is really what we need to work from. And I think that's something that you'll find in your medical career and that we all sort of struggle with periodically throughout our careers, even when we think we have it figured out. But it's, you know, it comes from a good place. It comes from a good place. You want somebody to have a comfortable bed and a warm place and a roof over their head and, you know, food to feed their children and all of those kind of things. So I think ultimately it goes back to the basic determinants of health. And when you have that in check, nothing else really matters. But it's really, really hard to see people who are struggling with the basic determinants of health and how do we get them to a place where they can have that. Because, you know, as human beings, we all deserve that. And I think that that's hard sometimes, whether that's a system issue or whether that's an issue with the patient just not being in a place where she can accept that or understand that. And that's probably the hardest. Yeah.
Well, that's all the questions that I have. So thank you so much
You're
welcome. For sharing your experience and your wisdom about sort of how this maternity center has grown and what it's become. And it's really interesting to hear about. So thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Come back anytime.
That was Claudia Steffler, nurse practitioner and unit director of the Maternity Center of Hamilton. We truly appreciate the time she took out of her busy clinical and administrative schedule. Thank you, Claudia. And thank you to the entire staff of the Maternity Center for all the fantastic work you do. If you want to learn more about the Maternity Center, check out www.maternitycenter.ca. And now, on this slightly overcast Monday in November, we have some Canadian music for your listening pleasure. This is Baja Boulat with her song, Go On, from the album, Heart of My Own. Thanks for listening to Health Justice Radio.
Hopeless on my awful lot, skies they open wide for us. Oh, what a heavy rain it was that covered all of you. The wind has changed my voice. I never knew a voice like yours, but I know just what good it was that lie you hold on to. But all those shadows coming back to you. Go on, go on, I couldn't bear to lose. Go on, go on, I couldn't stay too. Begged you for your awful words, so yeah.